Those taking notes, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I know we all think we know how to pray, but praise God, the apostles realized the need in their life, and they asked the Lord to teach them. Now, praise God, we have the Spirit within. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Now, many of us are facing needs. We all have situations, whether in ministry, whether personally, whatever the situation would be, healing, financial, you name it, we all have needs. And some of us may be getting frustrated. Some of us are wondering, I'm believing to the extent and to the level of my capacity. I don't know what else to do. I'm waiting. I know the word and scriptures and the Lord keeps talking about waiting on God, and I'm waiting for the manifestation. But these are things I need. And some may be opening the door to fear or unbelief. Some may be examining the heart. Have I got unbelief? Is there fear? Is there pride? Where am I missing it? Am I sinning? Am I not meeting the conditions? Well, God wants to encourage this evening. Praise God. He wants to encourage us not just individually, but also corporately. Now let's turn to Isaiah 59. First of all, I want to look at the motive. What are we actually trusting? Now, some of these things might sound obvious, almost to the point of why am I mentioning it, but sometimes in a trial, when our minds are not always at rest, maybe our heart is, we have that peace that passes all understanding, and yet there's a turmoil because of what we're going through. So we're searching our hearts and we're seeking God in earnest. Isaiah 59 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversely. We heard it this evening, didn't we, in the prophecy concerning paying lip service. Now, if God has exposed that, we often look at that and we think, well, what's the answer then? I'm believing, I'm praying, I have this need, but God is saying that my sins, my iniquities have separated us. His holiness, my sin, how can I continue? What can I now do? My sin has been exposed. Look at that again with me, friends. He's talking there about his power. He's talking there, God is saying that morally and ethically I'm unable to touch you in terms of my power. But if you put the whole revelation together, you'll understand that in his love, it's not that he's saying you must find a way to touch my heart, that God in his love has made a way. He has forgiven our sins. He has forgiven our iniquities if we confess and forsake them. And so we've been given the message, haven't we, over the years of opening up, not rendering lip service, but a tearing of the heart. Now, God is doing that by his Spirit. And if we have received, and we speak in tongues, if we have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we have, and we have been taught the purpose of the baptism, which is not simply to empower our agenda, but to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to crucify us, resurrect us in his life and power. Friends, if we're believing that God loves us, if we're truly understanding the heart of mercy and compassion, when Jesus healed in the Gospels, we're told time and time again he was moved with compassion. When people sought him, he could feel virtue go out of him because people touched him by faith. A leper came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he forever settled the question of God's will by saying, I will be thou clean. And he touched that leper. He was moved with compassion. Now tell me, is his compassion going to be more or less after the cross? It's got to be more, hasn't it? His power, his resurrection power, has got to be greater even than when it was when he was ministering to Israel. What God is now saying to us, he begins to use words like diligently. In Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we get tired, don't we? Because it seems there are so many conditions. We're told that there are no exceptions, but there are conditions. And it's like, all these conditions. How much more does God require of us? How much praying? How much studying? Dear friends, God is rooting out of us unbelief. And there is something that is holding us, I believe, in that unbelief. You see, we're seeking the things that we have need of, but we're neglecting the greatest thing that God is presenting. And it's related. We have within us the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And yet Paul says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the key. This is a key that perhaps we're neglecting. And there are certain ways we know that we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, he is going to teach us to pray. He is going to enable us to be diligent in seeking God. There are things going to be happening in our lives by the Spirit. The world is going to start being convicted by the presence of God in our lives. How? Because when the church is in unity, when the local assembly is praying as one, when the whole assembly is involved, when unity is a reality and not just a distant dream or a doctrine, but when we are truly united as one, that prayer, we're going to see the Holy Spirit beginning to do his work as he did in the book of Acts. It's the love, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in action, being seen. Healing is in response, yes, to the need, but in response to faith. It is God's provision for the sick through his disciples. And at the moment, what's happening, God is wanting, he's working, he's seeking to get this assembly, every single one of us, in prayer, but not just praying in a religious sense, and it's not just for healing, but it's for every need that we are aware of. Have we fully yet understood that if one suffers, we all suffer? If one fails, we all fail. We're still individuals trying to meet the conditions, trying to fulfill our responsibilities of faith, trying to walk this walk on our own. Now, the message of faith, if it's anything, is total dependence on God and independence from man. But God's grace has ordained and provided a body ministry. These gifts, these powers are set in the church. And if we will all pray as they prayed in Acts chapter 1, we know it very well, but we still haven't experienced it yet. God is getting us there. Acts chapter 1, and it says in verse 14, it's obviously, we know the context there, speaking of what happened at Pentecost, but here we are. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, Mother of Jesus, brothers. And we think, yeah, okay, these all continued with one accord in prayer. And those of us that have been in the Word will recall Psalm 133. But what does it actually mean? The point here is that the those that were meeting, and so we apply that to this assembly. All of us in this assembly, when we pray with one mind, one purpose. We have to be of one mind and one purpose in the prayers that we pray. It's not just an individual responsibility, because James said, as you confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Now that's specific, the healing, but whatever the need is, God is now working with us as one man. Until we have all been delivered of unbelief, of fear, of selfishness, of our own desires to be rid of a certain thing because it's I don't want to bear it anymore. But as we submit to God in what he's dealing with us, and we learn this, yes, there are other conditions, other principles, but this is a powerful principle that God wants us to lock into, that we as an assembly, not just a few Tuesdays or Saturday mornings, but on Sundays, and as we pray during the week, if we're still putting our needs first, our domestic situation first, our household first, my ministry, my needs, my want, my trial, that's the blockage. That is the hindrance. But when you and I put my brother's need first, put the Lord's, the kingdom first, the needs of the assembly, the state of Christendom, not that we're going to get too broad, but you know, look at the landscape and then see what details God wants you to fill in that. Putting the kingdom first, if it's not grieving us on our heart that there are so many of our brothers and sisters who do not receive what we're receiving, they do not have the word, the teaching, the message. They're under the bondage of man. They're under the control of men, a spirit of witchcraft, whatever it would be. They're under delusions, deceptions. If that doesn't bother us, then we're not overcoming. We can call ourselves overcomers, but we're not overcoming. Because the purpose for our existence, God is restoring apostolic faith. It's a ministry of deliverance that will set the people of God free from their compromise, their lukewarmness, their error, their deceptions, and the bondage of man. Now, if we're using faith and the power of the Spirit and the power of prayer and for nothing higher than meeting my need, God is not going to have that anymore. Yes, he will meet our needs. He knows our needs. But friends, purpose and power and one mind and unity in the assembly is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who is going to do God's will? Who is going to proclaim the kingdom of God? Prostitutes? Drug addicts? Who's going to do it? The Freemasons? Or is it going to be the overcomers? Is it going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who have laid their lives down and are now praying through the burdens that God has put on their hearts? Until we are praying one for another in areas, we are going to be hindered. It's all very well saying, looking at a person and saying they're going through that trial and I believe God is exposing such and such in their heart. Brethren, do not speak evil one of another. There are conditions to meet. There are deliverances going on in people's lives. But God has not called us to point the finger, to judge that, and to sit back in our complacency and say, well, okay, well, I hope they make it, and, you know, God is exposing their heart and they've got to meet those conditions, and if only they could realise that God loves them and God has provided healing for them in Christ, and let's pray for them that they meet those conditions. We've missed it. We have not been given the message of faith or a revelation of the power of prayer so that we can sit in judgment of a person going through a trial, even if that person is blind. Dear friends, to the extent that within our spirit, when a demon manifests, we feel a sense of revulsion at the demon, to that extent we should feel the compassion for that person, because they are suffering. They are in pain. Jesus, yes, he said, go and sin no more. Yes, of course, exposure of sin. But isn't that happening in our own life? Didn't Jesus also say, you know, you're seeing a speck, you're judging a speck in your brother's eye, but why don't you remove the plank that's in your own, and then you will see clearly to remove that speck in your brother's eye. And you say, yes, but that's a horrendous sin that they're committing. But then you've missed the point, haven't you? Because Jesus said, if you're saying that, you're seeing a speck in your eye is a plank. So how many hundred times more is your sin horrendous in the eyes of God? We are not one another's judges. We are one another's brethren, servants. And if we truly are part of this assembly, if we are truly part of the body of Christ, when one suffers, we will suffer with that person. When one is blessed and honoured and rejoices, we will pick that up as well. A person being sent out, God opens an opportunity, sends, that's the whole point of apostolic. It's not, oh, you know, look at that person with the power or whatever. The term means one that is sent to represent the assembly. Yes, the Lord Jesus, obviously, the word, the message. But unless the whole church, the assembly, let's call it assembly, let's stop using the word church, the assembly is behind that in prayer, it is not going to accomplish what God sent. Now, God has sent his word, and Isaiah says, yes, it will accomplish, but because the assembly is praying, the assembly is behind in prayer. So in the same way, when we have a need, we're going to have faith for healing. Oh, these great, enormous things that so far that have taken 25 years and we've not really experienced the fullness of God's provision. We're still struggling. It's because we fail to see this. Faith for healing, for finances, for provision, for protection, for fulfilling the commission that God has given the body of Christ. It's not a problem. It's not difficult. I'm not saying it's easy in the sense of, you know, a walk in the park, but it's not complicated. It's not beyond what God has put within us. We have it in Christ. God has made provision. The promises, these meetings, the word, his wonderful presence within us and in the meetings and individually. But that faith will only come into operation when every single one of us takes on that burden and prays the thing through, one mind, one purpose, one accord, in prayer in this assembly. Now that is stating it positively. Allow me to state it negatively and move on quickly. If we're not doing that, we have to ask, are we part of the assembly? It's no good the heart saying, I'm part of the body, and then when it refuses to beat, wonders why the body dies. or to use the analogy, has to have a transplant, so a new heart is put in, the body lives, and that heart is disposed of, thrown away. If we're part of the body, we will do what we have been put in the body to do. And you cannot get a more powerful, more important ministry than prayer. Do not waste it on yourself. James says, where do wars and fightings and strife, where does it all come? The opposite of unity. The opposite of Christ's love in action. Where does all this strife and envy and confusion, where do those evil works come from? It's because of lust. You desire to have and you have not. And you have not because you ask not. And you ask and still don't have because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may consume it on your own lusts. As we submit to God, as we let the cross do its work, as we realise that the reason we're in this assembly to seek the kingdom, to put the kingdom first, to minister, to serve one another. The kingdom principle that Jesus gave to his disciples over and over and over again, that greatness is serving. He that would be great among you, let him be your slave, your servant. And you cannot serve to any greater degree than that you yield to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to birth through whatever he birthes through, the faith, the healing, the ministry, through prayer. Friends, in the Gospels, especially Luke 18, when Jesus said, you know, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, not to faint, he gives the analogy of a widow that is being oppressed. And so she seeks deliverance from the man, the one man, the judge, who can meet that need, who can deliver her. And it's an unjust judge. And the only reason he pleads her cause is because she continues and continues and presses in. And so then Jesus says, well, how much more? This is an unjust judge who, lest she continually comes, wearies me, so I'm going to answer her petition. How much more a God of love, a Father whose heart is love, who's already given his Son, who's already given his best. But this widowhood speaks of our need, our plight. We're desperate, but do we really see our need? Do we really see what our real need is? And as we seek him for his presence, for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, but I'm already filled with the Spirit, already speak in tongues, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, because the gifts are in the Spirit. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The devil will not come anywhere near a person or a people who are filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. This is why, even now, those who can only see evangelism, they're even now beginning to question, why is it the flood has stopped and we're now only seeing trickles? God is getting the attention of his charismatic people. Friends, this is a serious call. This is a time that we've been put in the kingdom. And it is not for self-seeking. It's not for being obsessed with what I need. I believe God is now so working situations, trials, opportunities of ministry, that it is beyond our personal faith to meet those needs. It's not beyond faith, the fruit of faith, but I believe God is so working that he's dealing with each of us as with one man. But when the faith of the church is at work, when the faith of the assembly is manifesting, then each one of us, our personal faith, God will meet that need. Not because we're going around asking for prayer, but because the Spirit is so working. We are so now in tune with the heart of the Father that we are sensitive to one another's needs. And as a collective faith rises up before God, needs will be met. needs will be met because we are in one accord, one mind, one purpose, in agreement, in prayer. If there is fear, if there is unbelief or pride, jealousy, envy, resentment, why isn't it me being sent out there? Friends, your ministry will come out as a result of prayer, prayer life preparation. And as we get behind each situation in prayer, something is going to happen to you, your life will change, and you, God will be preparing you for your ministry. But if you're not faithful in this, you're not going to be faithful in your own. Do you want people to pray for you? God will put it on other people's hearts to pray for you because you are praying for others. Praise God. This is how it works. That we actually forget about ourselves and pray one for another. This is where our faith, this is where the power lies. You'll recall in the Gospels where Jesus gave the apostles, he gave them, he laid hands, he spoke, "I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, over every sickness, over every demon." And he had that experience, Peter, James and John, and our Lord, Mount of Transfiguration, came down back into the, as I was going to say, the real world, but back into that particular reality. And they couldn't cast out. They met a demon that they couldn't cast out. And yet they'd been given divine authority. And they did the right thing. They inquired of the Lord. Why could we not cast him out? You know, Jesus, you know the account there. Jesus healed that epileptic youngster by casting out that deaf and dumb spirit. He cast out the spirit. And he said, "Because of your unbelief." Even with that authority, there was still that unbelief that prevented the Holy Spirit from working. And he said, "Howbeit, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." Now that prayer and fasting, friends, there may be a specific time somebody rings you up and says, "I or somebody I know needs deliverance, come and minister." And the Spirit will then, you say, "Yeah, I'll seek the Lord." Don't go rushing out unless that's how the Lord leads. But generally, I'll seek the Lord. And there may be where he'll lead you in prayer and fasting. But the general understanding of that statement is that our life is characterized by prayer and fasting. We are always ready. We are always in a consecration of prayer and fasting as the Lord leads. The Spirit will be leading us in a place of consecration because our faith will never rise above our consecration. Now, the highest form of prayer and fasting, and would to God everyone in the assembly would grasp and experience this, that the highest form of prayer and fasting is to draw close to Jesus. We heard it in prophecy. Yes, there are specific breakthroughs needed, but our greatest source of spiritual power and strength and discernment for the fruit and for the gifts surely is the vine into whom we are grafted, Jesus himself. And as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. The high priest, the priest, took note of the apostles, those ignorant, learned, unlearned men, with their boldness. They perceived they had been with Jesus. How could the blind Pharisee know that these people had been with Jesus? God opened their eyes to it. God will honour that as we spend that time with him. The devil knows when an anointed vessel is ripping into his kingdom. And he also knows when a would-be, a wannabe, is having a go. And that is when he laughs and he moves in and, except for the mercy of God, destroys that vessel. This is a serious warfare we're involved in. And as we're seeking God, as we're drawing close to God, that I may know you. Yes, we need, he knows We need those things. He knows the yearning on our heart, our failures, our frustrations, our heartbreaks. But why? Why are the people of God heartbroken and frustrated? Yes, we go through our trials, friends, but is that what we are? Or is that simply what we're going through? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. Why are we putting up with second best? Why are we so defensive in our trials against the enemy when we should be moving in to his... Well, it's not his territory, it's ours. Give it back. Doesn't belong to you, Satan. It belongs to us. God is restoring our dominion. But our dominion is only going to work to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ dominates us, that we have submitted to him. How are we going to do that? How are we going to experience that infilling and that overflowing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God? Because our prayer, our fasting, our faith, our love, we looked at last time, didn't we, at loving God with all our heart, is totally set upon him. Him and him alone. Not what I can get out of him, but him and him alone. What value do you place on your relationship to Jesus? What value do you place on your walk with him? On your experiencing of his presence? It's not me you have to convince. What value do you place on it? Well, it will be seen by the price you pay for it. What price are you willing to pay for that? That's how much you value. God is bringing us back to our first love. The total application of the total word to the total life by the Spirit of the living God. God has placed the Holy Spirit within the assembly, the body of Christ. Jesus now, having ascended, he's now praying. He's now chosen that ministry of intercession. And so, in that sense, we have now replaced the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. What does the world see of Jesus? The world will only know Jesus to the extent that the church reveals him. And when I say that, I mean obviously God, yes, but we as well have that awesome responsibility before God, that we are the representatives of Christ on earth. In that sense, not as the Pope claims himself to be, but you know what I'm saying. The body of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, doing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing to this sick and dying world, this unbelieving denominational institution, the love, the life, the light, the compassion, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. Why is it not working? Well, because we want our prophecies, we want our power, we want our healing, but how many are fulfilling the ministry of priest? Because that's what Jesus is, prophet, priest, and king. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What are we doing? Are we entering into that? Because that's where the power is. That's where his life is. That's where the blood pumped from the heart will begin to flow through this sick body. But we have to mean business with God. We've got to mean that. We've got to consecrate ourselves to that if we want it. And if we don't, then we need to be asking God, either place that in my heart, or am I part of this work? I trust will be choosing, counting the cost, choosing the cross, and saying, Lord, if I'm really part of this, and I want to be, because you've put that in my heart, Lord, teach me to pray. teach me to pray. The apostles felt the need to ask their Lord to teach them to pray. And some of us, simply because we can pray in tongues, think we know how to pray. And yet in Romans 8, that great revelation of what it is to move in the Spirit, we're told we do not know what or how we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, praise God, the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He groans, that groaning which cannot be uttered. How many? Through prayer and supplication, again in the book of Acts, but how many have experienced that travail in the Spirit? We've gone through our process, haven't we? We learnt to claim, we learnt to ask, we learnt to confess, we learnt to act, and when it didn't work, we got fed up, and what's the matter? And, let's start interceding. So we began to intercede. But God is bringing us to a place, not just a few faithful ones, but every single one of us. Prayer, fasting, travail in the Spirit. Groaning that thing through, birthing it through. Any mothers here this evening will know what I'm talking about. But spiritually, that is what God is calling each one of us to. You say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Lord, teach us to pray. God will work it. Because that is what this assembly is all about. My house shall be a house of prayer. And unless this is a praying, a believing, praying assembly, it's going nowhere. We will continue in the wilderness. The wilderness was for a purpose. The conditions of each promise are for a purpose. The conditions to flesh and to unbelief are a stumbling block. But to faith, they are the very means by which God fulfills the promise. When we, this is what we started to say when Hebrews 11:6, seeking God diligently. Those conditions are not to put us off, but they're to expose our heart, to expose God's standard. If you like, the conditions are God's holiness, the fulfillment is God's love. But seek diligently, and we will be rewarded, is what our faith says. And you say, that again, diligent, seeking God and meeting the conditions. It's such a labour, it's such an effort. When's it going to happen? Friends, if you didn't have any faith, right, you're back in the world, you're doing what the world does, and the doctor said to you, I'm sorry, but for the next 15 years, you've got to undergo 3 operations a year, you've got to have 4 different types of medication, and then after 15 years, come back and see me. If there's no progress in your condition, come back and see me. You will submit to everything that man says. You will be diligent. You will take every pill at exactly the right time, exactly how many you're supposed to each day. You will submit yourself to those painful operations in the hope of finding that cure, because you desperately want to be healed. And yet when it comes to God's word, who requires that we spend time, we seek him, we open our hearts to him, we spend that time in prayer, seeking the word, seeking his will, seeking his heart. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm going to miss out on what I wanted to do tonight. I'm tired. Oh, Lord, whatever, Surely this is, I'm being legalistic and religious here. Do we want it or not? What value are we placing on what God has provided? He went to the cross for this. Shed his blood. God took on a human body in the person of his son, allowed it to be crucified, scourged, mocked, humiliated, crown of thorns, crucified, bled to death, heart was ruptured. Well, that's the value he places on us. What value are we placing on him and his promises? God gave his all for our salvation. We must give our all because we're saved. And no higher way is that going to be expressed than that we pray, supplicate one for another, that we seek God. You see, it's not just prayer, like we're praying desperately. We know our faith should also be fed on his word. Diligence, meditate. I'm not talking about all becoming theologians. John chapter 6, feed on me, feed on my word. You don't buy an entire bakery because you're hungry. You take one loaf home, don't you? And you eat it, one or two slices, one sandwich at a time. This is what we're talking about. You're feeding on it. Feeding. Meditating, that means looking at it. Speaking to God about it. A body that doesn't breathe is soon going to die. Are we breathing in his word? Breathing out in prayer and praise and confession? We breathe in the word, breathe out praise, prayer, confession, thanksgiving to God on a daily basis. You can't breathe 6 days of the week and on the seventh have a rest from breathing. You don't breathe 23/7, it's 24/7. And yet we think, oh, I want a holiday from all this scripture and diligence. I'm tired, I've had enough. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's breathing in. Proverbs 4 speaks of this. You see, we're not believing. You see, throughout the Gospels, throughout the Word, God's cure for unbelief has always been the Word. The way God has ordained that faith comes is by hearing, and by hearing the word. Our faith is strengthened by praying in the Spirit, but we've got to have a basis for our faith. And what does God's word reveal? Why does faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word? Because in that message is the revelation of God's redemptive will and heart. Not just that I'm willing, we saw that in Isaiah 59, not just that I'm able, but that I want to. I desire your healing, your prosperity. I desire to give you those things. I love you, he's saying. The revelation of the Father's heart of love. So in Proverbs chapter 4. Wouldn't it be a worse insult? What do you think is the worst insult? When somebody comes to you, or decides, maybe I shouldn't come to you. You would rather they questioned your ability than your willingness. I know you mean well, I know you want to, but I understand you're in the same position as I am. You're not at this present time able to help me, but I know you're willing. And yet here we are with God. I know you're able, but I'm not sure you love me enough. I know you can because you're God, but there are so many conditions in the way, and my sin and your holiness. Are you willing? Well, Jesus died for us, didn't he? And what's the worst sin? The sin of unbelief, is it not? So if Jesus died for all our sins, he died also to redeem us from our unbelief and from our fear and from our doubt. Friends, confess your faults one to another. Can we pray as an assembly, Lord, rid each one of us of unbelief and fear, that we may be healed, that we may glorify you with one voice, with one heart, being an example of the redemption you have wrought in Christ for us. Because the covenant, God cut that covenant in Christ in eternity. There is nothing within us that can meet the terms of that covenant. So it's all in Christ. All we have to do is believe in him. Believe on his name. Believe in his blood. Believe in him. But to do that, we've got to get to know him, haven't we? We've got to continually know of and experience him, his presence, his love, his heart within us by the Spirit. You know, thinking about a situation. What am I going to do about this situation? Oh, it feels awful. And so we switch the television on to distract us. And how are we going to get faith for that? It's not until we hear from God that we're going to know this is my Father's will in the matter. It just depends. You know, and I'm not saying now that, you know, don't take it to extreme that we're now to do nothing else but pray and meditate. I'm talking about as we put God first, we will experience the leading of the Spirit to birth a thing through. He will lead us to his provision in the Word. The promise that he has made that will meet that need and the conditions of that and his will in the matter. And this is the means by which he is encouraging and working relationship within our lives. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. It's giving attention. Don't drift off and try and absorb it by osmosis. Give attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. That means listen, mate, give that. You know, it's not just hearing, which is a reflex action, it's listening. The mind is involved. It's a function of the mind, not of the ear. So often we don't hear because our minds are cluttered with what we already think we know. And it's what we already think we know that is stopping what God wants us to know. Listening, hearing is a function of the heart and mind, not just of the ear. Otherwise deaf people couldn't get saved, could they? Right, we're getting the message. Do not let them depart from your eyes. So that speaks of a continual exposure to the Word of God. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Enshrine them. This is where our affection is. God's Word should be meeting our affections. Our heart touching his heart. Jesus is going to be touched by our faith when he is the only one we love. He is the only one that we turn to with all our heart and mind and strength. Because they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. That word health in the Hebrew, the cure, the medicine, that which is needed to bring about a cure, the health. So all the flesh, no exception. But we need to be feeding John 6 off of his life, his spirit, which is in the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals the life and the spirit, the wisdom, the heart of the Father that resides in the written letter. It's not ink on a page that's going to save you, but as the Spirit takes the revelation and quickens it to your heart, that's when you get saved. When you know it's God's will to save, to heal you, is when you get saved. Praise God. Psalm 103. You see, the glory of this redemption is that it is total. There aren't any exceptions. The apostolic preaching of the cross is the salvation of the whole man. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Don't just concentrate on a few, but all his benefits. What a blessing, wasn't it, on Sunday to go back. We were told to go back in our thinking and just meditate on all of God's faithfulness and past answers to prayer and his, how he's healed and delivered and set you free. Forget not. Don't forget just because you're going through a trial. And what does he then say? He says he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life, King James soul. He redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, listen to the life the power, the love, the life, the light, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ surging through our bodies. He forgives our iniquities. Yes, put the whole revelation together as the word exposes. We fall on our face before Almighty God, but we're told we have a compassionate, merciful high priest who is touched with the feeling of those weaknesses and forgives. It's only the unconfessed sin that is a hindrance, dear friends. Our meeting the conditions is a question when we love God with all our heart, we walk in the Spirit, we're sensitive to His will and word and way, we're walking in unbroken fellowship through faith in His blood. Don't try to meet the conditions. Love Jesus. That might sound too simplistic or too childish, I don't know. But if a man love me, he will obey me, our Lord said. Why are we trying to meet the conditions so that I can get something from God? Oh, like He's really going to bend to that, isn't He? He's really going to give up and let you boss Him around. That's not what the conditions are there for. Friends, we have it all in Christ. It's all there. And He's just waiting to pour it out. But there are too many individuals, too many individualistic people, you know, independent from God, who in their hearts are independent from the assembly, because really they wish they were doing their own thing. This is a bit of a constraint. I just want to be far flung around the globe. Why am I stuck here in Woking? Friends, that's got to go. As we seek God, one heart, one mind, one purpose, we're going to experience. Psalm 133, God has made that promise. He will command the blessing and pour out that Spirit, that redemption, the Holy Spirit, the redemption, the healing, providing, protecting, anointed power of the living God. And why does it in that psalm speak of Aaron? Because that's our ministry, that priestly intercessory ministry. The priest represented the people to God. The prophet represents God to the people. The priest represents the people to God. Intercession. Intercession. Prayer. Praise God. Yes, he has to be right. That's why the rope and the bells. But praise God, we have faith in the blood of Jesus, don't we? We don't just come blustering any old way, but as the word does its work in our life, we yield, we submit to God. Spirit assures us that we can come boldly because we've acknowledged our high priest. Come boldly. Let your request be made known unto God in a time of need, to seek that grace, that mercy in a time of need. Shouldn't be so complicated. Yeah, trials, and we don't put a time limit on trials, but I'm asking questions in my heart. We have it in Christ, but do we really have it? Is it a doctrine? Is it something legal? Or do we really have that? Because if He really has us, we really have what is in Him. He's already provided it. Romans 8, in case you're in any doubt, Romans 8 and verse 32. Can't get any higher than that. Friends, as one man, as one army. You see, that's the whole point of an army as well, isn't it? To move in unity. Drill is, yes, to make sensitive to the voice of command, but above all it is to encourage that each individual moves as one man, moves in unity. You survive by a brotherhood, not by individual glory seeking. Well, praise God, that's enough to be getting on with. I really believe that is a... I know it is because I believe God. You know, I don't have to say that. That is something we need to explore, to experience, brethren, as an assembly. Is this the breach that God wants to repair? Why we're not experiencing? It's covenant blessings. They should be a regular feature, a characteristic of our life. We've heard from God this evening. Let's seek God in that. God bless you, brethren. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If we're truly picking up the heart of the Father, we need to be... That compassion will cause us to weep for the suffering of our brother and sister. When was the last time any of us wept for what our brother or sisters are going through? The lack that is in other assemblies. It should break our hearts, friends, because it breaks our Lord's. He weeps. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over the unbelief that surrounded the grave of Lazarus. If we have his heart, then his tears are going to flow through us. Not in an emotional, way, but by the Spirit, that genuine birthing through of the Father's heart in our lives.